It's between eating Satma meat or Shomei Atzeya meat. If you had no other schools but Satma schools or Shomei Atzeya kibbutz, where would you send your kid?
Satma.
You'd become a vegetarian.
You'd become a vegetarian. You're full of baloney. You're full of baloney. Where would you send your kid if? Bruce, you're hedging the issue.
I don't know.
You don't know. You'd send them to public school?
I don't know. I'd move. I'd move.
Obviously, you'd move. There's nothing else.
But I don't know.
There's nothing else.
Obviously, what do you mean? You haven't got it.
Okay. Elama. Okay. You have to make certain compromises. So you have to make certain compromises, and that's the compromise I made. That a Jew who has gone ahead and put his life on the line to build a greater Torah community today in Eretz Yisrael than existed in all of Europe, put together with the Vilna Gaon and with the Chazanish and everything in Europe. We have more in Eretz Yisrael today than we had in Europe. And these pushtakim, these zero nothings, less than nothing, are the ones who did it up until now, who have carried the burden for 40 years. I should go and exercise passive resistance, right? I should make the burden even more difficult. Insanity. You're telling me halacha? There's nothing more. This is a pathology. This is a sickness that we have to get over.
Let me ask back to the other question that we said before, that if you feel that the response on the part of a large part of the community comes out of an inferiority complex, but again, what kind of response do you have to these people? I mean, you said it, you certainly can't go off to
you have to show the mistake.
No
one wants to be shown to be inferior. No one wants to have his or her inferiority uncovered. We want to cosmeticize and cover over all of our inferiorities. And that's what we call rationalization. That's what we call projection, hostility. Zeh haklal, we learn it from Adam and Chava. The minute there is hostility, you've got to look at an underlying cause, either jealousy, feelings of inadequacy, feelings of inferiority. And the only way I overcome it is by being hostile to you. You're no good, you are garbage, your way is sheker, I am the harbinger and the only harbinger of emes. You see.
Unfortunately,
Torah is distorted sometimes.
How do you counter this?
Yeah.
Wait a minute, what are you talking about countering?
Just
understand it in yourself. That's all. The next time you haul off at someone, just understand it in yourself. See what's going on in your head.
Yeah. And that should be enough to...
That's the biggest start in the world. The biggest start in the world. If you can understand this the way I've spent the years trying to understand it, you'll be able to sit with a satma hand in hand. And once you're able to do that, then you have agreement. You'll see 90%. The toughest, hard-baked yeshiva man, you've got to realize that 90% of your life agrees with him. That other 10% is where you go your own way. If I'm wrong, so let it be 80%. I'm talking about normal people. Just get rid of politics and you'll be able to talk, tete a tete, person to person. Yeah.
The whole idea of how does a Jew make a Kiddush Hashem? What is the individual Jew's mission in the world? If I have a conversation with one particular guy at work who's capable of having a conversation with someone who is very different from him. And, he knows I'm going to another job, and I'm used to working in a Gentile world. I come from that world, essentially. So I'm not intimidated by working with Gentiles. I don't mind it. As a matter of fact, sometimes I prefer it. And to me, making a Kiddush Hashem is when people recognize me as a consistent person with integrity. When people, I worked with Goyim in the past who apologized for cursing because they felt that I was a religious personality. And that there was some effect that I had, even if they didn't love me. But there was a respect that was engendered because of my presence and my particular way of doing business with people. And I guess then you'll get a guy who says, you know, I'm comfortable here. I don't think I could go out. And he's making all these excuses about here I have a minyan and here I have Shabbos and this and that. And I'm saying, yeah, but that's not a Kiddush Hashem. Here you stay within the Dalet Amos of your little world, and nobody knows about you except other Jews who do the same thing you do, and no one benefits from it, and no one knows who you are and knows what you do. I can't live that way. To me, a Kiddush Hashem is to be in the Welt without sacrificing my principles, while following the halach, being shomrei Torah mitzvos. And that was that's a big difference. Here's a guy who's looking at it from the context within which you present the more insulated communities. He really isn't secure, because he has to go out and he has to be different. He has to face people. He now has to use the full range of the halacha in order to deal with non-Jews in the non-Jewish world. And that's intimidating to somebody who has never had that exposure.
Could you please go back and learn that little piece of Gemara, that line and a quarter on page 4? Ner Chanukah is mitzvah lahanichal Pesach beisoy mibachutz. Okay? Ner Chanukah belongs outside, exposed, on the forefront. But v'shasa sakona, when you feel that you are in danger, is manichal shulchan avadayel. You pull inwardly, and you put it, that's enough, and finished. You cannot deal with a person who feels threatened, you see. You cannot move out of your shell when you feel threatened. The Rabbanu Shalom created a turtle and to teach us that this is the way every single person responds. Not only a turtle. The minute you feel threatened, you pull yourself inward. You conserve whatever natural resources you have. When you feel threatened and you feel inferior, then you got to go inward. You're capable of seeing the superiority that you do possess, and the superiority is acknowledged for its true Kiddush Hashem, then you go out. Now, I hope to be able to share with you one of the most startling articles that I've ever seen in my life. I heard about it. I haven't gotten the original. To show you that you can have your tzitzis out, you can sit and learn in Kolo, and you can win the six-day war for the Israeli army. Did you hear what I said? A couple of months ago, there was an article in Ma'ariv that names an individual only by a first name of a fellow who does not have a high school education because he's a B'nai Brak resident, and you don't go to high school in B'nai Brak, who is a mathematical whiz and computer genius that Tzahal acknowledges you need 7 years of 25 of the best computer scientists to have gone ahead and figured out a certain electronic device which is credited by the Israeli army for having won the Six-Day War for them. Now you say to me, why didn't you bring it tonight? Because it's 10:35. Do you know where you should be now? It needs a separate treatment whatsoever.
One other question here. Rav Kook writes, he never speaks about the other group or any group, really.
There are no groups there.
Yeah, that's right.
It's all the same.
So maybe our discussions also should stop focusing on them, whoever they are.
I ask, focus only on us.
I mean, we're always falling off into this discussion of us and them.
Right.
And
only
maybe,
on us. That's why I'm only interested in us.
Maybe we would make more progress if you would cut out the discussion of us and them and what my experience is and just get on with it.
But what about that Hadrega that Rav Kook is on?
Why not?
You are...
How many more sessions do we have to come here?
You are
night?
Too chicken to get on that Hadrega. That's what you say. But the spice of life will be knocked out of your daily diet.
But every Rav Kook session that we come to now, it's us, the Tzionim versus the Black Hats. I mean,
that wasn't okay.
And it's bothering me.
Okay, and the
I don't know if I'm right.
I hear what you're saying.
I feel like mentioning
it's not right or wrong. It's not an issue of right or wrong. It's a feeling. I remember, and we have evidence and where we started. I'm only interested in our thinking. There's no us and them.
in Torah thinking.
That's all. Right? This is a way in Torah that was so all-embracing and far, in my humble estimation, far more inclusive of all the colors of the spectrum than any other thinker of the 20th century.
But I think that these tapes, these discussions where specifically we mention the Black Hat world, would probably be offensive to certain people if I, let's say, sat them down and had them listen to it.
Unquestionably. However, the same tape must have the disclaimer that this is not the motive.
No, but I feel the effectiveness of the tapes as tapes is lost because of that, as well as the shiur itself. That's my feeling.
There's no need to knock anymore. At least not in this stage.
I'm just going to ask because you seemed this last one of the last comments you made toward the end of our shiur tonight was that I got the impression that you and I discussed this not long ago, that you're perfectly willing to let the Haredim sit there in Yerushalayim, take the bus subsidies, take the bread subsidies, the chicken subsidies, the milk subsidies, come home 3 times a year, and don't go into the army, call Tzahal trade, call the Medina trade, say that the Zionist, he's nuts, you know, he's a Zionist, you know, leave him alone, he's got mental problems. Like in Russia, you know, anyone who disagrees with the government is sent to a psychiatric ward. The same thing that, he's a Zionist, let's send him to a shrink and we'll straighten it out. And you seem to say, let's live with them, let them sit there wherever they are in Isaiah Bira or in wherever, and they have a, you know, let them sit there.
Because, Bruce, they are there. They are part of the economy.
Well,
they generate an economy.
I disagree.
You're confused. They're there.
I always have this argument with you. I ask you, we've spoken and about davening and where you're davening Shabbos morning. And your answer to me constantly is, I prefer yeshiva davening. So you're davening by the yeshiva. Right? So on the one hand, you're davening by the yeshiva. Now, on the other hand, you're talking this way. I'm mixed up. I don't understand you.
Well, there's one. I have one easy way out.
I mean, I
have one easy way out.
I have
like this time Shabbos morning.
You're trying to predict himself.
It was
he's riddled by conflict.
He's going on like this on the Black Hats. Yeah. I don't think I've spoken this way.
Yeah, and he is a Black Hatter. That's for sure. And this is an issue of conflict that you haven't resolved.
Well, we
so what? I hate you for that.
We discussed this at the Onion.
I hate you for that. Do you know how many years it may take you to resolve this?
This is this. He likes he likes the domination. He likes to be a Black Hat. But he does not like that the Black Hats are not Zionists. He feels that the Black Hats should be Zionists too.
But he wants to daven with them.
Yeah, so what's wrong with it?
He wants
to become a Zionist.
Because there's nothing wrong with that. There's everything right with it. And the whole expressed intent of this little circle here is to indicate that I am Black Hat and I sing Hatikva. I've resolved that conflict. You don't want to sing Hatikva? What can I do for you? You have distorted what it says. You have given me excuses. What? I'm going to throw out the baby with the bathwater?
No.
That's the issue. David, I think, in the main, has resolved this issue. But you, David, were going through this conflict. He was being torn by it. I think he's found his roots.
I see it as I said this to Joe. I think it's a I think they're a big danger to the Medina, to the Haredim. I think they're as much as a threat as a terrorist. I think they're. Rabbi Wasser, they're like a fifth column. I think they're very dangerous.
only Bruce, only in one respect. And as I said to you, there's a car that has to drive uphill. It's a treacherous drive uphill. Don't drive with the emergency brake on. You wear down the brake lining. That's the issue. You see, and to me, this is what hurts most. If someone were to ask me childishly, what's the worst hate in the world? The worst hate in the world happens to be kifui tova. Kifui tova means to be an ingrate. I owe you a yashikayach, instead I'll spit you in the face.
You spoke about this, about the lack of hakaras haton. You spoke about this.
Obviously, I have makaras for. I have makaras. That's my particular thinking. Now, that we are all caught up in this conflict, that's why we sit here.
No, I'm tired of it.
You're not fair.
I mean,
the stuff
on the menorah was good stuff.
Yeah, wait a minute, and you got it. And that you have resolved the conflict, and that you are at a stage ahead of someone else, you're not being fair, buddy.
How long do you need? A year, 2 years at this?
A lifetime,
maybe. I got 2 years of
hold it. A lifetime. A lifetime. You are asking a human being to mature or to grow like apples, that you have exactly a season, and in one season all the apples grow the same way?
I'm talking...
You know who did that last? His name was Hitler, Yimach Shemo V'Zikro. I'm sure you're not that.
You see what I'm saying? Not only put aloe on the...
I still feel that these Rav Kook tapes probably should not be distributed because of the nature of these discussions.
Okay.
That's a comment. No, that's impossible. That's a marketing decision. That's a marketing decision. Yeah. I think we can leave that to the marketing people. It might be offensive. So we can edit the tape.
Yeah, but as I'm sitting here, I realize that I myself could not take it on myself to edit it because I'd be like the art school doing it to Rob Zevin.
But I want to get back to what Bruce said in there, because we're having this point. I always felt the opposite, that the Haredim being there was to me a tremendous mark of strength for the society. People, you know, you see in the Times and you see places that they complain about Israel, you know, it's a theocracy, it's this, there's no democracy. And you look at the Haredim, and you look there, here are people who, you know, I mean, who burn the Israeli flag. And when in the 60s, when kids burned their draft card and burned the American flag, the reaction against them was so strong. You know, these people, I mean, the riots against them, I remember this in the 60s. And here you got people, it's not just one incident. And it's not just, you know, they're not going to go fight over someplace 2,000 miles away. No, you got right there, and you got an enemy right there. And they still get the garbage picked up, and they still take the buses, and they still, you know, they still talk to people. It's a strength, really, to me, of like, you know...
They're tolerating that?
Yeah, that the society, that the values in the society are so strong.
Who cares about the... Do we have to tolerate the Palestinians that go to Hebrew University and rip the mezuzahs off? Is that a sign that we're tolerant to these people? I mean, where do you separate tolerance to the security and defense and the welfare of the state?
Well, the Haredim aren't carrying out the mezuzahs at Hebrew University.
It's not only the Haredim, and then the line is drawn. I mean, the same thing I remember when I was in Israel, they had a big shock, you know, when the kids from Mapam Kibbutz were arrested for being spies for Syria.
Yeah.
I mean, in the shock that went through, you know, they went through Israel was amazing, because these were kids from, like, what's considered to be an elite kibbutzim.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, here are these kids who are like, you know, and the same way that, you know, the Jerusalem Post has a field day when the Frumer are throwing rocks, I mean, that the, you know, the Frumers had a field day, you know, here in Rapalm Kibbutzniks, shows what kind of values they have. You know, so, I mean, you know, there, you know, you have to draw a line. You have to say these people are selling Israel out, that's it. You know, but, you know, security's still there, the state's still there.
I haven't seen these pictures that people would tell me about what's going on in Yerushalayim now, about the police acting like this is Austria 1938.
Unquestionable. I saw
it.
Unquestionable.
I don't care whether they're Haredim and whether they disagree with the State of Israel, they're Jews and they're Shomer Torah mitzvos, and you don't beat them. Like, in America, the cops wouldn't do things like that, at least as far as if they knew they were going to get caught anyway. I mean, do this to fellow Jews.
Let me ask you a question.
That's what I'm saying in America. It's not true, because I remember in the 60s, I remember the response of the police. to Columbia demonstrators, Kabakomi, the people burning the...
let me ask you a question then. Is there a difference between an Arab who stands on the road between Yerushalayim and Hebron and throws rocks at the settlers' cars through the windshields?
Yeah.
Is there a difference to a Haredi who stands on the remote road and throws stones through the windshield?
Yeah.
You think so? I don't.
Sure. No, I agree. I don't think so.
If you're a mounted policeman and you're standing there and you've served in four wars and you've lost Chas v'Chalila two kids and you see these Haredim with the long huts and he's throwing stones at you, would you like to sit on top of the horse and have thrown stones at you?
The difference is, though, Bruce, if I may inject something, the difference is a Palestinian that throws a stone is going to aim to kill you.
Yeah.
He's going to throw the stones to kill you.
Yes.
The Haredim are not going
to... Just take you out.
No, I don't think they're aiming
just
to...
Take you
no,
out.
I think
they can aim very well with a stone.
I don't know. I don't think they are there to hurt you personally.
I don't think the Haredim are going to want to kill Jews. I think they want to make
just
a big deal.
Do you have a couple of more minutes and strength for what Rav Kook says about this issue on page 2? Machlokes Hadeos, this is all Oros Hatchia. Machlokes Hadeos al Dvar Hadrachas Aklal. This machlokes of who should lead the nation. In Bizman Hazeh, you know, we're talking about, let it be now, contemporary. Sherabu Pritzim Nosei Degel HaHefkerus B'Yad Ramah. That those who want to break down all borders of Torah are the ones who carry the flag. In other words, what we call the Tzionim. Is Roi Lahafrida Sa'uma? The question is, shall we split the nation? Shahakisherim no se degal shem Hashem lo yihilaim shum yachas impoke ola poshim? That those of us who carry the banner of Torah should have absolutely no relationship whatsoever with these secularists, with these goyim? O shema, or maybe koach hashalom haklali machria et hakol. Maybe that for the sake of peace, that should determine everything, and we should stay together. Kol ikara shel plukta zu. This whole inyan of do we pull away or do we go together and stay together? Its etiology, its source, is ba'al mipnei hashiflus haklalis. This is because of the low state of spirit in which we are in. Sha'adayin lo nigmara hatahara lagamrei. The process of purification in building our nation has not finished entirely. Biyisod ha'ofi shel ha'uma. And it's got to change the basic characteristic of our nation. Mitzad chitzonius nafsho, as its public manifestation, v'hi metaheres v'holeches. And this process of distilling the dross from the purity, the false from the true, the cosmetic and the surface from the essence, this continues to go on. Now he gives you a moshel. He says, what's going on today, this split that's going on today is the same thing, if you wanted a moshel, on line 27, Ela kitot yachdav, all of these two sides, the secularists and the frum, he numbers zeh b'madregash tayim nashim zonot shebo'o Shlomo. Do you remember the story when Shlomo HaMelech became Shlomo HaMelech? There were two women, both of them were prostitutes. And they came to Shlomo HaMelech, you remember both of them gave birth? And one's child died and the other one's remained alive. But each one was claiming that the living child belonged to her. But what kind of women are we talking about? Shtaim, Nashim, Zonot, they're both prostitutes. A prostitute sells herself. Okay? And you remember what happened? Also, is Hadibur. When Shlomo HaMelech said, Havi Ucherev, bring a sword, Nisayon hu mechachmat elokim shebemalchut Yisrael. Shlomo HaMelech did something that we felt politically after Shlomo HaMelech, that the two parts of Eretz Yisrael were divided, north and south, and cut in half, because Nebuch, we prostituted ourselves. Any which way, we were wrong. The north was wrong and the south was wrong. And why were we wrong? He says, because of shiftlessness, because the lowness of spirit, not being able to rise above, we prostituted ourselves. Okay? Hadibur haviu cherev nisayonu mechachmat elokim shebemalchus Yisrael. Osaha ru'uya lehidachos. The one who should be put down of the two women, Hiato Enes, she's the one who says, Gizoru, cut the kid in half, give me half and give her the half. Ubehitmar meram valetes yes amitas atina shebalev shehi chosha ba'atzma. And as she is talking about the hate for this other woman and she's ready to cut the child up, it's really her own self-hate. Shekol inyanahu rak gamli gamloch lo yeh gzoru. If I don't have, you're not going to have. Cut the kid in half. Okay?
Where does he say self-hate?
Self-hate. Hatina, line 29. Amitas hatina shebalev, the hate in her heart that she has, shehi chosha ba'atzma, that is really self-hate. Okay? Chosha
means...
that she senses, chush. Okay? Shekol inyana, when you hate yourself, when you are a self-hating person, it comes out, gam li, gam loch lo yeh. If I can't have, you will not have that child, gizoru, cut it in half, bring it down. The other whore who can overcome this is only a little step higher. Im ha'aim ha'emet, but she's a true mother, is omeres tenu lo es ha'yilod ha'chai v'hameis al t'misu. Let her have the child and don't go ahead and kill her. We are sitting here today in a very interesting situation with this child abuse case. Right? This week, yesterday, with the child abuse case. Mm-hmm. A mother who had a child out of wedlock as a teenager, the Steinberg case.
Yeah.
And she wrote the letter and says, give her back to the original mother. Okay? Veruach, line 32, Veruach HaKodesh Sovachas, and the Rebbeinu Shalom yells, Tenula Sayilod Achai Hi Imo, let the real mother have. Says Rav Kook, and here is the issue. Ein keitz l'ra'ot ha'gashmiot v'haruchniot. You can't believe the damage to the physical and the spiritual well-being shel hitpardut ha'uma l'chalakim, of a division of our nation to parts. Na'af al-pi she'peidut gamul kahole ha'alev ha'menatchim b'arzorius yefsharu v'hayoli yilo yihyeh. Even though my moshel, my example of cutting the child will never split that way. Zoti mamash machshava shel avodazar klalit. If you think that we're going to split the nation into those who go after the gashmias and those who go after the ruchnias, that's mamash avodazar. There are no two ways about it. Sheheninu betuchim alehas, and we are told once and for all, as far as Avodah Zarah is concerned, shalotit kayem, that it won't exist anymore. Asher atem amrim, and he's quoting the Navi. We want to be like everyone else to go ahead and worship stone and trees. Chayaninu Mashem Elikim, says the Navi, I swear by my life. And says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Im lo biyad chazaka, uvizroa netuyo v'chimo shvucha em loch aleichem. I, God, will take you over with power, and I will, with my anger, rule over you, if you try that. Kechol machshava shel avodah zarah hi machiva, machriva u'madiva, afilu kishelo ba'a v'lo tovo lidei ma'aseh. And any kind of thought of Avodah Zarah disturbs and destroys, even though it's only in the potential, then Yesod Tzidkat HaTzadikim B'chol Dovado Nitmachu Gam Al Yidei HaRishayim. When you have more Avodah Zarah, you know what the reaction is? You have more more firm tzaddikim. The more shmutz you have in Eretz Yisrael, what has got to the reaction got to be? There's got to be more black hat and more Haredi. There are no two ways about it. No two ways about it. And he views this not as a split of a nation, but as a staying together of a nation. It's the only way. It's the only way. You see.
That would be true if the people on the both sides had common beliefs.
They do. Take a look at 38. Yesod tzidkas, I read that. Yesod tzidkas ha-tzadikim b'chol dor v'dor nitmachu gam al yedei ha-rishayim. Tzadikim ha-tzadikim, by virtue of the fact that rishayim exists. She'im kol rishatam, notwithstanding all of their rishus, kol zman she'hein devukim b'chefetz libam liklalus ha-uma, so long as they still call themselves Jewish and they're part of the klal of the nation and they're laying their lives down and the lives of their children down for this ummah, for this nation, and they don't go to France, they don't go to Muncie, they don't go to Eretz Yisrael, they're still there, notwithstanding the Yerida. Kol zman that they are there, aleihem ne'amar. That is what the Pasuk says that we start Pirkei Avos with. Ve'amech kulam tzadikim. These Rishoyim, these Ochle Trefas, these Mechalalei Shabbos, as long as they stay there in Eretz Yisrael and they're a part of Tzahal, as disgusting as it is, and you know, and this is where Rav Kook becomes so vulnerable. What are you, crazy? How can you do such a thing? You call them tzadikim. How can you call them tzadikim? V'hachitzonius harishus shelahem, and this cosmetic veneer of their rishus, mo'ilahi la'ametz kocham shel tzadikim. This is what gives the tzadikim the thrust to be able to resist, like kedudaya l'chamra, like the pulp in wine. The pulp is blech, but without that you don't have the wine. You see. V'haperud ha-medumeh, and this assumption that there is a schism, choter hu tachat yesod ha-kedusha kula, only goes ahead and ruins the basis of our kedusha, kemase amolek shezana v'sanach shalim. It's like a built-in self-destruct of amolek that gets us at our most vulnerable and weakest point. Plitei ha-anan, who are the ones that amolek were able to get? The ones who weren't under the Anan, kol ha-necheshalim achorecha, the ones who didn't have the protection of the Anan HaKavod, they were in the back. Ata yefi yageya, they were outside the cloud, the protection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shalach yodo bishlomov cholal briso. That's the pasuk referring to Amalek. You see.
What does that mean?
Okay, shalach yodo bishlomov. Amalek went ahead and stretched his hand. Bishlomov, those who were at peace with God, Chalal Briso, and he went ahead and destroyed the bris, tried to go ahead and abrogate the bris that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had with Bnei Israel. No way. It's not going to be. You see. Now, I do admit to you, Bruce, that there are ways. There are ways of being a tzaddik. And Lubavitch has one way. You'll come. I know who you are, Shimon Peres. You are such a chiloni, you are such an anti-Semite, but you're visiting here at this kfar, at this little kibbutz. You are going to put on tefillin, and you're going to say Shema. And guess what? We got photographers here. It's going to be in the Ma'ariv. I saw it in today's Ma'ariv. We are going to put it in the Ma'ariv, and the world is going to laugh at you that Shimon Peres, now that he sees Malach HaMoves, he's 70 plus, so he's playing either good politics, to your new Shimon Peres for playing with those Haredim, right? Or he's becoming frum in his old age, therefore he is a senile and incapable of running the country. Any which way will get you, but you're going to say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Because it is as important to me, for me to put on tefillin, as it is for you to put on tefillin today. There's a way and there are ways. There are ways.
You put words into the Babbage's mouth, I don't think they think vindictively like that.
They don't think vindictively. I'm being comical. I'm being totally comical.
It's not hitting you.
Good, so we said that this tape is not. I'm being totally comical. They mean it sincerely.
Yeah.
They mean it sincerely.
They think he could do tshuva right there.
100%.
Who knows? Maybe he will.
I hear what you say.
He would let that picture go into the mire?
I'm telling you, I saw it today.
So you say you're not going to change the other people's minds. Yeah. See, if I believe that Shimon Peres can do tshuva,
I'm not going to go out. Because I'm not going to walk around down the block to daven there and change their minds about certain things. I know it.
I'm saying their mind, just like Shimon Peres' mind is able to be changed, their mind is able to be changed. Why should they be on any less of a madriga than Shimon Peres?
I don't know if it's unnecessary to go down there with the have in mind that you're going to change your mind. There are guys that daven their Shabbos morning that you would classify as tzionim, who learn all the time, who are very, very wonderful fellows. And they're not going there for any other reason but to enjoy the type of davening. There's a lot. I find yeshiva davening to be extremely kedushin thinking, and very wonderful.
But Ross, my
that doesn't mean I'm going to be...
No. What you say is valid. But why do I have to continually worry? Again, I'm going to use the rabbi's way of thinking from an inferiority complex point of view. That why aren't they thinking like me about Zionism? They're not. So what can I do? I mean, I don't have time right now to convert them to Zionism.
Okay,
I have
that's fair.
I'm busier with my non-frum friends who I want just to observe Shabbos.
But then I have the same point the other way. Then why are you continually worrying about the non-frum friends? I mean, to me it's the same.
It's not the same.
What makes you think you're
going to have any more... The black cats will take care of themselves. I'm not worried about
them. Successful with your non-frum friends?
No.
Do you have any statistics?
You didn't hear what I just gave an answer. I'm not worried about the black cat world. They're going to be Jews and their grandchildren will be Jewish. Somewhere along the line they're going to change their thinking and they're going to move to Israel. They've lived in Israel. They've been in yeshivas in Israel.
Excuse me, Shimon Peres is as Jewish as they are.
No.
So whether you believe it or not, Shimon Peres brought guns across the border to establish the state to self safe.
I'm sorry. No, you're missing my point. You're totally missing what I'm saying. I have friends right here in Passaic certainly in Passaic and on the exchange. Well, I know their children, certainly their grandchildren, it's doubtful they'll be Jewish, and it's a question whether their children will stay Jewish. That's what I'm concerned about. The black hat world will go on, and they'll have children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, God willing, they'll also be in Sahel sooner or later.
To interject one thing.
But that's not my problem. They're going to be around.
Okay.
Why is that not your problem? And your friends on the exchange is your problem.
Because they can't learn. They don't have a chance.
No, because what he's saying is you got a difference between a guy, I mean a person who's... the difference between a guy who's a coal and a guy who's in, succumbing to fascism. So he's saying, if a guy's still alive, so you got hope for him. Right? You know that the grandchildren are going to be Jewish. You think the children will still be Jewish, so you have hope. So you have hope for them. Here you say, this may be the last, this may be the last ditch effort to get him in some place where you can deal with him.
And I think perhaps you don't have to worry so much about the guys on the block. This is a rub that we know very well, that married us in Massachusetts, who in his shul says hallel on Yom HaTzmud. He himself does not. He's an old Mira Musmach. He's a very firm man, but he's also a very moderate person who doesn't lay his trips on anybody. And he said to me, quote unquote, in 100 years, they'll probably all be saying hello.
Who?
Everybody.
So.
The guys down the block, young Israel.
Why
did he say that? He didn't go into it, but he wasn't worried about everybody. You just saw an evolutionary process that takes time, that somewhere down the road, all these things that you're going to get off our Brent and bent out of shape about worrying about all these people, whose great-grandchildren will most may very well be also sitting in the same yeshiva, will be doing a lot of the things that we're so angry that they don't do. So don't worry about that so much. Worry about people like my nieces who didn't even go to Hebrew school and don't know our phase, and who, thank God, they're girls, you know? So at least from the halachically, whatever they have, whatever they marry, this is a major concern.
That's one.
I'm not worried about the guys down the block, though. You know, when you get a guy down the block who's involved, who's not a Satmar, works with Satmar, and who's involved with funding yeshivas in Vienna and sneaking people out of Iran and saving them the shamas and giving them an opportunity to reclaim their heritage. All these people who are non-Zionists who are involved in this, they are doing...
Bruce,
give credit where credit is due.
Notwithstanding the work of the Vaad Hatzalah during the Second World War, which was a black hat kind of institution, if it weren't for the fact that we had a Tzahal today, all of the covert and the overt activities of Hatzalah, Iran, Russia, will probably have little meaning whatsoever. It is so rampant. It is so developed. It doesn't stop because of the fact that we have a Medina today.
100%. The tens of thousands that will...
I don't need anyone to have to swear allegiance to that. It's reality. Simple reality. Okay?
You see, my difference is that I view the Haredim, as I said, in Israel, at best a nuisance, and at worst a real serious problem. I don't see it just as a passing, well, their grandchildren maybe will go into Tzahal. I don't think that is just as a conjecture as your people sitting on the exchange may become something or may not be something. I think they're two equal things that we cannot predict. And I see them as a major, major problem in the Medina.
We'll take Balei Tshuva Yeshivas. They're more Litvishin and Derech, Dvar Yerushalayim, or Sameach, Esher Torah. These are they're getting a lot of money from the government, because the government sees them as a positive influence where people may come to Eretz Yisrael and
stay
on Aliyah. But these are non-Zionist Yeshivas, and if you would hear the rhetoric from some of the Talmidim that come out of these Balei Tshuva Yeshivas, you'd be shocked.
Made a reference to the Iranians. There's a gentleman down the street here, who I won't mention the name, who works for Rav Tov, the Satmar organization who works with the Iranians. One of the guys in Kolel just started working there about a year ago. This same fellow told me to my face, and Bobby Rogoff, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, that he has no problem we would be better off if the flags around the Kaisel were the British Union Jacks. It would be better for Jewry. Now, this is the guy who's taking the Iranian students, the Iranian people are coming up, and he is macarving them. Is it not better to leave them in Iran?
No, chas v'shalom.
No?
No, no. Because you're talking about the people dying.
Who knows what these people are, what these Satmar groups are teaching. They talk about...
Sama doesn't teach them anything.
They talk about what happened that the Golden Meir group, who took the Iraqi Jews, the from ones, and wouldn't let them go, sent them to non-from kibbutzim. What about the ones that are taken onto the Litvishir yeshivas and are not allowed to talk in Sephardit, and who are taught that the Svardish Shulchan Aruch is not as holy as the Ashkenazi? They are stealing their values as much as Golda Meir still, but no one complains about that.
Okay. Except for one thing. Golda Meir, if you listen to her, spoke in Ashkenazi, not Svaradit.
Whatever. You understand my point.
Are you aware of that?
You understand my point.
Okay. Ideology stinks when you look at the tree and you lose sight of the forest. Simple as that. And each of the cases It is ideology.
I mean, it's very well known.
It's that ideology that stinks.
As good as the Lubavitch are, it's very. From what I understand, and I'm not an opponent of Lubavitch. From what I understand, and I might be wrong, is that Lubavitch is very good, and it's very good for Baal Tshuvas, and it's very good for people as long as you like. You follow the derek of the Rebbe, and as soon as you want to stray a little bit, they shake your head and say goodbye.
Yes, and so is Satmar, and so is any other. Kind of closed society, including a yeshiva in a kollel world.
100%.
That's all. In the Ve'i Yerushalayim, if you want a shidduch, you gotta
follow the derech.
If you want to go back to World War II, the Zionist agenda was not rescue in Europe, essentially. It was post-war building of the state. They already wrote off the Jews in Europe. Millions of people, they wrote them off because we really can't save them. We're going to have to worry about building the state once the war is over, the resettling of Jews. And Ver Weissmandel, who really was a broken man, who eventually died, I think, from the deprivation of being in the Slovakian underground, who didn't care who he saved, just save them. And the Jewish establishment?
This is the Shiflus HaUma. This is the low spirituality that we all have on all sides.
And that's what
it takes time to heal. It's a healing process that we need. Now, Rabbi Akiva had 3 years. We are already at 40 years. That we are still alive is not to be believed. Okay? Let's hold it there. And we'll continue in Mirza Hashem. After Hanukkah.